Let's say that you're the wife, and your husband asks you to do things for him, and you never do anything he wants you to do. Honey, I want dinner this afternoon at 6 o'clock. She said, you'll have to fix it yourself. I got some other things I want to do. I'm not going to be home till 8 o'clock. So if you want dinner at 6, you're going to have to fix it yourself. So they go through life like this. She does nothing that pleases him. So one day she comes in and says, honey, I want a new car. What do you think the chances are for her getting a new car?
Little.
Very little, this girl said. This is a smart girl, you know that? Now then, let's say that everything he asks her to do, she's just on top of things to please her husband. Now then, she comes and says, honey, I think I need a new automobile. You know, she probably didn't even have to ask. Because if she was that good a woman, he probably bought her one in advance without her asking. You know what I mean? That's usually the way it works. God's the same way. If you don't have faith, and he said it's impossible to please him without faith, if you don't develop faith, guess what you're going to get from the Lord? Let's go to a verse. Most people just say, I don't believe that. I don't believe God would do me like that. So let's go to back to that same book of James chapter 1. And let's go to James 1, 6, and 7. And let's see what that says. James 1, 6, and 7. But when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer. In other words, the King James, do you have the King James, young lady? You have the King James? What does yours say in the King James?
But let him ask in faith.
Oh, there's that word again. Let him ask in
faith.
And what does it say the next?
With no doubting.
Oh, with how much doubting?
No doubting.
You mean I can't doubt just a little?
No.
Now are you beginning to understand why we don't get anything from God? Because there's a little critter out there. If y'all hadn't realized, there's a little critter that's invisible. You know what we call him? The devil and his demons. And every time you go to do something, if you start to step out in faith, he'll come up and whisper in your ear, you don't really think he's going to do that for you, do you? Sure. He's putting doubt in your heart. And who do we usually listen to? The devil. That's exactly right. We listen to this beast. We don't believe the Word of God means what it says. So, I mean, you know, especially when you're young, and we've all been young at one time. When we're young, you know, we read the Word of God, and it tells us what to do and what not to do. And you need to make Jesus Lord of your life. And we say, well, I'll do that when I get old. I don't need Jesus now. But he's calling you when you're young. He wants you to be his child. And you put it off. I tell you a story. Awesome. It was a 28-year-old young man that used to work where I worked down at the airport. And I sat down at the table there, and when he sat down, we had big chairs, big tables, you know. So I told him, I said, son, you know Jesus? Nah, I don't know Jesus. I don't want to know Jesus. I said, why not? He said, I like to go out and party and have fun. I said, you can have the best parties you ever had and know Jesus. I said, you really have freedom in Christ. You'll enjoy, you'll go to different kinds of parties. You won't go to, I said, you like to drink? Oh, yeah, I love drinking. I said, I love smoking. I said, well, you know, I said, you'll be amazed at the parties you'll start going to when you know Jesus. You'll have more fun, and you won't abuse your body with alcohol and drugs and all the bad things. I said, God, he'll let you enjoy life. He come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. That's written in John 10:10. But I said, you know, you have to know Jesus. I'm not interested, Mr. Scrivener. I mean, maybe when I get old. I said, but son, you might not ever live to get old. Oh, he said, I'm only 28 years old. I will live to be an old man. And then one day when I get old, maybe when I get old like you, this has been 15, 20 years ago. And of course, at that time I was 55 or 60 or whatever. And to him, I was ancient. And maybe when I get old like you, I might, you know, accept Jesus. But right now, I don't want him. I said, well, son, I said, you never know when you might die today. He said, I'll live a long time. I said, son, you're only one heartbeat away from eternity. Do you know that? Every one of us is one heartbeat away from eternity. You know, nobody's guaranteed tonight or tomorrow. You know, so you could die right now. And everybody, well, just before I die, I'll make Jesus Lord of my life. No, you can be walking down the road, not even thinking about Jesus, and your heart stopped. I had a 36-year-old nephew that did not walk with God, and the other day they checked his blood pressure and everything, and it was perfectly normal at 10:30 in the morning, and somebody walked into his room at 11. He's laying there stone dead, 36. He didn't walk with God. He didn't put God first. He lived a very terrible lifestyle. Didn't put God first at all. But the Lord says, you will die early if you don't put me first. I don't know about you, but I like living long. You know, I love living a long, healthy life. So anyway, I walked away from the table. He walked away from the table. A couple weeks later, I was in the cafeteria and somebody said, did you hear about so-and-so? I said, oh, that's a young man I talked to a couple weeks ago about Jesus. They said he went out partying last night with his friends. He's got a Jeep. And he didn't fasten his seatbelt. And he ran up on a curb because he was drinking. And the Jeep started to turn over, and he fell out, and the Jeep rolled over on top of him, and he's dead today. You know where the boy's at? He's in hell. Sure he is. I can just hear him down there now saying, God, give me one more chance. The Lord says, I sent Thurman 2 weeks ago to tell you about me. He was very adamant about it. He told you might not have but one more heartbeat. He said, I knew you were going to be dying shortly, so I sent my son to try his best to convince you that I am really real. But you denied me. You turned me down. So he said, now you're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. That don't even sound like fun, does it to you? No, not to me either. But that's what's going on the earth. Once you're born, you're going to live forever somewhere, heaven or hell. No two ways about it. And you're either going to be sick off and on or you're going to be well. Now, I spent the first 35 years of my life having lots of sickness. I had at least 6 or 8 times when I was down in my back for a week at a time. And, of course, you know, I just thought that was normal. You know, I mean, everybody gets sick, don't they? You know, I mean, it was no problem for me when wintertime came along and it began to get October, November, and the cool winds are blowing in and the cool rains and everything. I might be outside working or something and getting wet and it'd be cold and I said, nose run a little bit or something. You know, well, it's flu time. I guess I'll be down with the flu before long. Now, I know none of y'all ever said that besides me. But I spoke a curse on myself. And then, of course, you know, in 2 or 3 weeks, I would come down with the flu, or like Mother, you know, used to. She was a great woman of God. She loved the Lord with all her heart. And I, you know, I was raised in the country of Texas. And, of course, I went barefooted most of the time. And of course, the reason you go barefooted in Texas is because you're walking on holy ground. You know, so anyway, you know, is that right, A.A.? We're on holy ground in Texas, so you don't have to wear shoes or boots. You can go barefooted. But when the mailman would come, we were out in the country, and of course we had a little bit of grass between the house and the mailbox, which was probably 100 yards out there. You know, whenever the mailman would come, you know, and I'd see it, and I'd dip the front door running wide open, and I'd run. Mom and say, son, don't run through that wet grass. You'll come down with your death of cold. Y'all ever hear your mother say that? And she believed it, and guarantee in 3 or 4 or 5 days I'd start having a runny nose, and she'd say, I told you you was going to have that. And she did, but she didn't have a clue what the Word says. Because if she had believed what the Word says, she would have never spoke that curse on me. But when you ask Him, be sure that you really expect Him to answer. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. People like that should not expect to receive how much? You mean you're not, if you have doubt at all, any at all, when you pray, God's not going to answer your prayer. Is that what He said? Is that what He said? In other words, if you don't believe God's going to do what He says He's going to do, what's He going to do for us? Nothing. Now let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. We flew over to Shreveport 3 nights in a row to preach over there at a little Rush Arbor tent. You know, we had our little revival, whatever you want to call it, over there. And the third night we were coming back, Dave and me and Cheryl, we flew over there. And as we were coming back across there, the weather was beautiful. I mean, it was just clear. We could see lights of Dallas. Everything was clear. And all of a sudden, we get about 30 miles on the other side of Dallas, and Dave looked at the computers, and he said, Thurman, do you know the airport at Denton is closed? It's almost zero visibility and ceiling. I said, well, it must be some dense fog over there. He said, obviously there is. So he said, since Denton, which is only 6 miles up this way, and Northwest is only 3 miles that way, that's a little bitty short distance. You figure if that one's closed, this one's closed. So I said, well, we're sure flying in beautiful clear weather right now. And about that time, we flew right into that fog. Just white fog, you know, with the lights. We got the lights on the airplane. Normally you don't fly with many lights on the airplanes, not big ones, but we had the landing lights on and we flew in that fog, man, it just flashing off of those white clouds. You couldn't see nothing but fog. We're going 200 miles an hour cruising along there. And I'm looking at the GPS picture, and I see that in about 2 miles, I'm going to be ready to turn left to turn into final approach at Northwest. Now then, I want to show you a scripture that God says in His Word. I want to take you to John 15:7. I want you to see this, and I want you to see what you can ask for if you will obey His Word. You can literally control the world that you live in if you believe God's Word and you're an obedient son of God. Look what He says here. But if you stay joined to Me. Now that you see, that has a requirement, doesn't it? In other words, you can't be a disobedient daughter and get this answer. But if you're an obedient daughter and you stay joined to the King, you're in His Word every day. You're talking to Him, you're loving Him, telling Him how much you love Him, then you're on good ground. But if you stay joined to Me and My words remain in you, you may ask any request you like and it will be granted.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, I Can Guarantee God's Word, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.